The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. And it's still happy anniversary because this is our anniversary month and we are celebrating. You know, we really are celebrating. So say happy anniversary to your neighbor, to the left and to the right. Amen and amen. So we had the Olympiad wrap up yesterday and we have a winner, and like we would say though, that everyone that participated is a winner. So everybody, congratulations, you participated in one way or the other at the Olympiad. I mean, it's just for the fun and stuff, but there has to be a winner. So it was keenly contested, as we're getting the reports here in Dallas. And it is interesting to note that I think for at least the second time running, you know, risk takers took the trophy. So congratulations, risk takers. Well done, Team Commitment. Well done, Team Simplicity. Well done, Team Authenticity. But it takes risk taking to win. Okay, so well done everybody, and congratulations to all the body that participated again, and that's beautiful. So for some of you, I mean, in church, you will have received a love letter from us, you know, and because of just a few projects here and there that we want to kick off in church, we so please respond to those letters. It's just good to respond. You get a letter, you respond. I respond to every email I get. Once I open it, I respond. I respond to every message, every WhatsApp message I get. Once I open it, I respond. Okay, so please respond to us and God will bless you. And your response will be favorable and your blessings will be favorable. In the name of Jesus. Okay, so to bring the word of God to us today is Alpi Kunle Ore. So let's put our hands together for the Lord as we welcome Pastor K to bring the word. Let's keep clapping, let's keep clapping, let's keep clapping.
Two times back to back, I kept forgetting the microphone. Hallelujah. Good evening. I'm sorry. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Okay, so I should do it properly, right? Good morning, my neighbors. How are you doing? Are you doing? K-O-O. Yes, how are you doing? Okay, okay, and okay. God bless you. You may be seated. You're all very welcome to this Sunday service. And as Pastor said, the anniversary celebration continues. So it's still very okay to turn to your neighbor on your right and on your left and say, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Hallelujah. You know, it's 15 years of God's goodness concerning us. It's 15 years of God's faithfulness. 15 years of ups and downs. But at the end of it all, we look at ourselves and where we are standing, we are extremely grateful. We are not where we started out from, and God is still not done with us. Amen? God is indeed not done with us. Yesterday, as Pastor mentioned, it's the kind of day that you cannot but talk about. You know, Pastor Bimi said earlier on, we saw a different dimension of Pastor Joyce yesterday. You know when the Gen Zs, when they say things like, we pin. Pastor Joyce, during the tug of war, she pinned. She pinned like, we don't go nowhere. And they got victory at the end of the day. Hallelujah. There's a lot to learn even from yesterday. If we were to say, okay, let's teach a sermon on the Olympiad. I'm telling you, the book will be big because there's a lot to learn from the preparations of the team, from the way they carry themselves, from the focus, from the way people... Do you know that some teams yesterday, as they were on the field battling, trying to get the points, they had some people in a corner praying. On the matter of this Olympiad, we not go grill. They didn't agree at all. And the results are the results. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. All right. This season, God has spoken to us. And he said, occupy. God said, occupy. And by God's grace, when we are done, we would have occupied in the mighty name of Jesus. All that God has put in our hearts, all that God has placed in before us in our destinies, God will ensure we walk fully in them in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you. We're grateful for the opportunity, the privilege to be able to stand before you to speak to your children. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that even right now, put your words in my mouth in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, open our hearts to receive as we ought to receive in the name of Jesus. My Father, my King, you, Lord, do the teaching this morning. And when we are done, let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. All right, last week, Pastor continued, because, the week before I spoke about Occupy, then Pastor continued last week, and again this week, we're still on the matter, Occupy. Last week, if I was to summarize, Pastor gave us four key points, actually, to pick out, to take home. He said, one, occupy is stewardship and not ownership. Occupy is stewardship and not ownership. I'm not going to be repeating on that today, but I will be maybe like extending it a little bit. You know, occupy is stewardship and not ownership. It means that we are simply, when God says occupy, it means we are to manage what belongs to the master. We are to manage what belongs to the master. The second point Pastor emphasized on was occupy means movement and not maintenance, meaning that the areas we have occupied, the things that we have taken possession of, we are supposed to move with them, to invest them, you know, to take risks on them. Coincidentally, the people that won yesterday, they are called the risk takers. And indeed, they took a lot of risk for them to win. You know, anyway, let me just leave them for now. We are supposed to multiply the what God has put in our hands. Number three, we are supposed to occupy requires faith and not fear. Occupying requires faith and not fear. The three servants that got each a talent. The first one went out in faith, came back with 10 pounds. The second one went out with 1 pound in faith, got 5 pounds. The third one, out of fear, went to hide the single talent, the single pound that he had, and brought it back alone as it is. Fear of failure will make us unfruitful. The unfaithful servant was not judged because he stole. He was judged for standing still. God doesn't expect us to stand still. God expects us to have faith. And faith makes us to move. We will move in the mighty name of Jesus. And finally, last week we learned that occupy brings rewards and not regrets. It brings rewards and not regrets. If we put that at the back of our minds, it will help us, even as we continue this week, starting tomorrow, when we know that as we step out in faith, that we are guaranteed to get rewards and not regrets. You can choose to believe and say, I'm going to regret. You will get what you get, what you believe in. But, or you can choose to go and say, I'm going to get rewards this week. This week will favor me, and it will favor you in the mighty name of Jesus. So we'll be reading from Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to 27, the Amplified Version. Luke chapter 19, verse 11, it's from 11 to 27, the Amplified Version. I'll read. It says, while they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they assumed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately as soon as he reached the city. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to obtain for himself a kingdom and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas, one a piece, each equal to about 100 days' wages, and said to them, do business with this until I return. But his citizens, the residents of his new kingdom, hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to be a king over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these servants to whom he had given the money be called to him, that he might find out what business they had done. The first one came before him and said, Lord, your mina has made 10 more minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you proved yourself faithful and trustworthy in a very little thing, you shall now have authority over 10 cities in my kingdom. The second one came and said, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, you shall take charge over 5 cities. Then another came and said, Lord, here is your mina, which I have kept laid up in a handkerchief for safekeeping. Like I said earlier on, in the first worship experience, when I read this, it reminded me of my grandmother. When my grandmother wants to keep anything in the house, you know, she has all these old ankaras. She will just tie the thing inside the ankara and go and hide it. It can never be missing. If you ask for as long as she's alive, if you ask for it, she knows the particular ankara where the thing is tied up and kept safely. Praise the Lord. So this guy decided to go the old school approach of just go and keep it where it is so that when they ask for it, I'll just bring it out and return it. He said, Lord, here is your mina, which I have kept laid up in a handkerchief for safekeeping. I was always afraid of you because you are a stern man. You pick up what you did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to the servants, I will judge and condemn you by your own words, you worthless servants. Did you really know that I was a stern man, picking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not, at the very least, put my money in a bank? Then on my return, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas already. Jesus explained, I tell you that to everyone who has, because he valued his gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given. But from the one who does not have, because he disregarded his gifts from God, even what he has will be taken away. The king ended by saying, but as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in my presence. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his words in the mighty name of Jesus. So this story, quick summary, is basically about a wealthy businessman who traveled abroad for several years to go and lay ownership, to go and get crowned as the king. You know, before leaving, he called his managers and gave each portion of his company or his business to them and said, use this to expand the business until I return. When he returned, some had multiplied the investment and he rewarded them. Others did nothing, and they lost even the little that they had. God expects us, as we've learned in the last 2 weeks, God expects us to engage actively, to do business, to trade, to invest, to be productive with what God has entrusted to us until Christ returns. Just say to your neighbor, he says, me, I will occupy until he comes. In the mighty name of Jesus. So key takeaways for us from this story. Key takeaways for us from this story, number one, is that the call for us to occupy is a divine mandate. We've touched on this before now, but we want to emphasize it again. It is not voluntary on our side for us to occupy. It is not voluntary from us to say we want to take possession, we want to lead, we want to move forward. It is not voluntary. It is a command. It is a mandate. It is not a suggestion. It's an instruction. And when God has given an instruction, he has also empowered us. The story here says that to all those ten servants, he gave each one a mina. And the Amplified Version further expands and says, a mina represents the salary or the wages for about 100 days. Now, I want you to think about it. Those of you that are salary earners, or even if you are into business, you have a rough idea of how much you make per month. Picture it that someone comes and says to you, you know, I'm not going to be around for the next couple of months. Here is 3 months' salary up front. Go and use it as you please, as you think is best. I'll be back in a couple of months, then you can render accounts to me. How would you feel? Wouldn't you feel delighted? Wouldn't you be elated? That's the same thing. When God has spoken to us and said, go and occupy, he has given us a mina. He has not given us 1 month's salary for sustenance. He has given us beyond what we need for sustenance, because he knows that, yes, you need to sustain it, but after sustaining, you need to also invest and multiply. So he did not give you enough to barely survive. He gave us more than enough to accommodate and allow for investment. So if you think and look into your life, if there is anything that you think you have, God has given that thing to you, even in abundance, to serve you and also to allow you to be able to use it to serve others so that it can multiply. Is it the influence that you command? Is it the talents that you have? It's not for you alone, and it is in abundant supply. You have to note, number one, that you are only a steward. Because God, just as the master told his servants, I will be coming back in a few months. God is giving you that mina as a steward, not as an owner. This further emphasizes in Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. There's nothing in this world that is not the Lord's. There's nothing in this world that is yours. But because we are children of God, we have rights to it. And those rights we must use with wisdom. So for us, as we think, we are never to ask, do I have anything? But rather, the question should be, what am I doing with what I have? It's never to say, is there something in me that is good? The question is, have you identified that thing in you, and what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Because it is a commandment. And it is required of us as stewards that we must be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We are to be found faithful using those mina as we are expected. So the question is, what is my mina? What has God put in my hands? Is it a voice? Is it a skill? Is it a platform? Or is it a calling? There are some of you sitting down there. I've met a number of people that come to meet me, and they come for maybe they God has spoken to them, maybe in a dream. And they are confused. They come and they say things like, you know, Pastor, I don't dream. But each time I dream, it always comes to pass. That's a gift. What are you doing with it? It's a gift. Because it's not everybody that dreams. Some people dream. You will wake up, you know that you dream, but you've forgotten the dream. But you have a gift. You sleep, you dream, you wake up. You are in full awareness of what the dream is. Then a couple of days, weeks, or months after, that dream comes to pass. It's a gift. What are you doing with it? How are you using it? How are you using that gift? And it's just not the dream alone. It could be anything. It could be your voice. I see people at times, they sit in church. And maybe occasionally, maybe on social media, they find themselves singing. And everybody's like, wow, you have very good, lovely voice. And I'm wondering, why are you not in the choir? What are you doing with the gift? What are you doing with the gift? There are some people, business moguls, fantastic financial giants that can guide you. What are you doing with that gift? We're not saying give people money. We're saying, have you nurtured people around you that you can pour into, that in 20, 25 years from now, they will be bigger than you? Some people are even afraid of that thought, to raise people that are bigger than them. Why would you be afraid of such? That should be your desire. Jesus said, greater things that beyond what I have done, you can do if you have faith. So if Jesus can expect his disciples to perform greater miracles than what he has done, what is it that you are afraid of? That people you raise should not be greater than you. Some people are so afraid of it that even their own children, they don't even want their own children to be greater than them. My own children must be greater than me. Must, by force. And it is my desire for anyone I'm pouring into to multiply whatever it is that I am, whatever it is that I have today. They must, if I pour into them, they must multiply it. Hallelujah. Of what use is it if they are smaller than me? Of what benefit? To who? Who that won't help? Praise the Lord. Say to your neighbor, I will not waste my gift. I will not waste my gift. We move to the next point. It says the choice of occupying friends or foe. Verse 14 of the text we read, it says, but his citizens, the residents of his new kingdom, hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to be a king over us. And I'm wondering, the master has grown, has developed. He has been called to come and receive kingship, to be able to lead. And the people he wants to come and lead are saying that they hate him. And I'm like, how? As I was pondering on this, I now remembered during Thrive, someone asked a question and said, how do you love people you are supposed to be loving, but they don't want to be loved? And that was a deep question, because a number of times we find ourselves in that kind of situation where you are expected to love someone, but you are loving the person and the person doesn't love you back. I'm sure this is a situation this master found himself, striving, developing himself day after day, building his business, paying his salaries. And the people that are benefiting from him are saying they hate him. They are not saying they don't like him. They say they hate him. That is a different level of it, of beefing. They say they hate him. That's deep. How do you love those that don't love you back? Especially when you are commanded to invest in them. What would Jesus do? The truth is that when Jesus was in this world, he came because he loved us. But what did the world do? They rejected him. They refused to love him back. And even till today, if you are here, you are not saved. What you are simply doing is that you are saying, Jesus, I am not loving you back. I don't care about your love. I don't care about the sacrifice you paid. I don't care about what you did for me on the cross. I am not loving you back. That's indirectly what you are saying. You may not be saying it vocally or audibly, but that is what your behavior or your action is representing. And unfortunately, since we have been commanded to occupy, the truth is that we will still have to occupy spaces that is being accommodated by friends and foe. By friends and foe. Friends and enemies. And we are commanded to still love. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary. Let us not get tired of doing good. Because it's a command also. We must love. Even when we're not being loved back, we must love. That's the only way we will find fulfillment. When we know that in all things, at all times, we are doing the will of God. It's a tough place to be, but it is the reality of higher grounds. It is the reality when you begin to occupy higher grounds. You will find yourself in situations where the people that should be on your team, that should be on your side, they are telling you to your face that, why do you think you should be my boss? Why should you, do you think you should be ahead of me? You have to know when to advise and guide and counsel. You have to know when to do what this master did, which was to punish them. Because a number of times, there may even be more than the people that love you back. There were 10 people that were giving talents here. Only 2 was profitable. 7 returned the money as it is. 1 returned the money as it was. 7 did not even bother to show up. Have you thought about that? 10 of them got talents. 2 multiplied it. 1 did not multiply but still showed up. He showed up because he was probably afraid of the 7 that did not even care. Because those 7 were the ones that sent a delegate after him to say, we don't want you as our master. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. Hallelujah. Number 3, faithful stewardship, the commitment in occupying. Faithful stewardship. Verse 16 and 17 says, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds, thy minas has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant. Well done, thou good servant. The servant who traded with that master's money received commendation. God rewards faithfulness more than results. God rewards faithfulness more than results. 1 turned to 10. 1 mina turned to 10 minas. The reward was 10 cities. How do you explain that projection? If it was cash, if let's assume it was cash we're talking about. So someone was giving, let's say, 1 million naira. He turned the 1 million naira to 10 million naira. And I said, oh, wow, I'm moving you because you are able to make 1 million naira turn to 10 million. I'm not giving you 100 million. I'm giving you 10 cities. Huge, huge reward. Huge reward. For what? For faithfulness. Because right now, it wasn't so much of converting 1 to 10. It was more of being responsible to know that whatever is given to me, I must multiply. I mustn't just hold it. The same thing, the person that got one mina, multiplied it to 5 mina, what was given to the person? 5 cities. So it wasn't a multiplication factor, because if it was a multiplication factor, what you will get is, okay, 1 turn to 5, then 5 should turn to 25. So give him 25 minas. But what happened? Took it to a different level. 5 cities. 5 cities. We have to learn to remain faithful in those little things. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 13. Luke 16, 10 to 13. He says, Jesus went on to make this statement, to make this comment. Luke 16, 10 to 13. MSG version now, please. If you can bring it up on the screen. I'm sorry I didn't give you. MSG version. He says, follow me if you have not brought it up. He says, if you are honest in small things, you will be honest in big things. I love this version. A lot of times, we are trusting God for those big things. But the small thing in your hand, what are you doing with it? The small thing that God has given, what are you doing with it? How honest are you with it? Your boss says, manage this shop. It's only you in the shop and the stock. When you are going for the weekend and pocket is dry, you make a small sale, 2,000 naira. Only 2,000 naira, you pocket it, you don't report it. Then the business grows and you expect them to make you the facility manager or production manager or whatever. If you are honest in the small things, you will be honest in big things because it becomes a character in you. It becomes a character. It just grows. If you are a crook in small things, you will be a crook in big things. If you see anybody stealing big money today, it's because when they had access to small money, they were stealing small money. Praise the Lord. I shared this story with you some time ago. You know, I was in secondary school then. I remember very clearly. God bless my mom. I used to pilfer. I used to steal from her little by little. And that particular morning, I think I was in form 3 or form 4. I can't remember exactly now. But very early in the morning, I was watching her. I was waiting for her to get into the bathroom in her room so that I can quickly go into her room, pick from her wallet, and run to school. And that was the target. So as soon as she entered, I ran into the room. I saw some money. I picked it so that I can be a big boy in school. And I ran to school. Some of you are looking at me now. You're like, Pastor K. I wasn't a pastor then. I was not born again. All things have passed away. Behold. I remember. I took the money. I ran to school. So I was in secondary school. I ran to school. And I was already like planning what I would use it for during break time. I was going to be a big boy. And all of a sudden, during assembly, I just saw my mom coming to school. I knew, say, Kasala, don't bust. I knew. So she was a friend to my school principal. So she had access because she was also a principal in our own school. So she came and just entered and they greeted her, said she needs to see me. So they went to get me. I saw her from afar, so there's nowhere to hide. So they went to get me. She just said, oh, yeah, follow me. So we got outside, entered the car. She didn't say a word. She didn't say pim until we got home. She sat me down. She said, "Kunle, did you take money from my wallet?" I denied it. I said, "No." And I started shedding crocodile tears. You know crocodile tears? And she looked at me, looked me in the eye. I said, "Kunle, I did not give birth to a thief. And I believe you that you said you didn't take it. But I know that I did not give birth to a thief." I said, "Go back to school." That was the last time in my life I ever stole. Ever. Now, why am I selling this story? Because this was in Form 3. I was 13 years old. I'm over 50 now. 40 years. It still rings in my ears because it has formed as a character. I did not give birth to a thief. So anytime I see something that is not mine, I report it. I tell people. I have this online business. Some of you are my customers. You patronize me, you know. And there was this particular woman. I'd never met a lot of them online, you know, but I supply them weekly. So there's a woman that anytime she orders for things, she will just pay up front. At times, we don't deliver fully. I noticed that she doesn't even know that we don't deliver the full amount. So today, she will have 2,000 left, 3,000 left, 1,000 here and there. It was a lot of chaos for me. But do you know, I accumulated everything. I think by the time it didn't gather, it had been like 29,000 or something like that. I sent it to her. I said, "Ma, over the last couple of months, you've been overpaying. She was surprised. She called me. She said, "Is this how you run your business? That you will go very far." She started praying for me because it had become a character to be honest, to say it as it is. What would it cost me to just, she overpaid 500 naira today. Man, she won't even notice. She overpaid 2,000 naira. She won't even notice. That prayer right now still resounds in the business. And by God's grace, we will go far. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will indeed go far. Because we have to make sure that we form that character of being honest in small things so that we can be honest in big things. If you are not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? That's what scripture says. That's what scripture says. We have to be consistent in those little things that we are doing so that we can hear from the master when he says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We must not be weary in well-doing. Let me not forget that this particular customer that I was talking about, when that money was building up, something will always tell me, "Forget about it, she doesn't even know, she's a big woman. Forget about it, she doesn't even know." That is the spirit saying, be weary in doing good. Be tired of doing good. But I chose and said, "No, I will not." The prayers, elderly woman, the prayers she was praying for me, I couldn't forget on that day. Hallelujah. Number four, the consequence of neglect. When we have talents that we don't use, when we have means that we don't use, we lose the opportunity. The example that Pastor shared with Pastor G shared with us about the shoes becoming, getting atrophy. It's so real. When we have a talent that we don't use, when we have a mina that we don't use, we lose the opportunity that comes along with it, the opportunity for multiplication. The third guy that refused to multiply his mina, that went to hide it, maybe he even had the potential to turn one mina to 20. But that opportunity was lost forever because what happened? They took it from him. They didn't even say, "Okay, let's try him again." They took the opportunity from him. Those shoes that you have, like Pastor, that you just locked up in the house, you are not wearing, it will spoil. And it's real. I gave an example earlier on in December. My father died and we did a burial, you know, typical Yoruba Owambe. So we did Agbada, we did all those things. Because they are precious, they are expensive clothes. Since December, I've not worn it. The one we did for all the children, they've not won it. It was just last week I was thinking about it, and I looked at my children. All of them are growing so fast now. The day I say, yeah, come out and wear it now, the thing will be short. Who that won't help? So don't be surprised next week if you see everybody coming to church in Agbada, because we have to use it because before it gets useless. I'm not saying we are coming next week, but maybe Thanksgiving. But you get my point. Why am I even keeping it? Because I consider it precious. I consider it expensive. I consider it valuable, and I'm waiting for that perfect time to bring it out. A lot of us, our minas in our hands, we know it is precious. We know it is valuable. Then we are all waiting for that perfect time. But that perfect time never comes. Or maybe that perfect time always comes, but we don't know that it has come. Because that perfect time is now. That perfect time to use that skill, that talent, that gift that God has given to you is now. Maybe you are sitting down there, you are hearing now as I'm talking to you, and you are saying, okay, don't let me even wait till next audition of the choir. Let me go and write down my name now and say I want to join the choir. Maybe you are sitting down there and you're saying, look, I'm tired of just coming to church to sit down every Sunday. I want to join ushers. I want to join the prayer department. I want to join set up and tear down. Pick up the form now. Don't wait for that perfect time. The time is now. Doing nothing is not safe. It is actually disobedience. God expects increase and not stagnation. Number 5, as I close. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass that the master returned. The master will always return. The master will always return. No matter how much we want to deceive ourselves that the master will not return, the master will return. 10 servants were given 1 mina each. 7 of them expected a return. 1 multiplied 1 to 10. 2, second one multiplied 1 to 5. Third one went to keep his own because he knew the master was coming. Like I said earlier on, the 7 remaining did not expect the master to come. How do I know? Because they said here, the Bible says here that after the master had gone forth, the citizens hated him and they sent a delegation after him to tell them, we don't want him to be our king. So they expected that the master will not return. They expected that the plan of the delegation will come to pass, that the delegation will get there and convince the people that wanted to make the master the king over them to change their minds. But they failed. If there's anybody thinking that Jesus will not come, if there's anybody sitting here thinking that, oh, there's not going to be a day of judgment, you are deceiving yourself, oh, because that day is coming. That day is coming. For those of us that are sacrificing, pushing, and waiting and watching up till that day, our labor will not be in vain in the mighty name of Jesus. We will be rewarded faithfully in the mighty name of Jesus. All those that did not expect him to return, what did the master do? Luke 19, verse 27. He says, but as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in my presence. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. I said that will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. You will be ready when he returns in the mighty name of Jesus. You will occupy till he comes in the name of Jesus. You will stay faithful, you will stay fruitful, and you will stay watchful in the mighty name of Jesus. God has entrusted resources into our hands. God has entrusted gifts into our hands. God has entrusted opportunities. God has entrusted power into our hands. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? As we all bow down our heads and bow down our hearts, I want us to think about all that we have talked about today. The gifts that God has given to us. The gifts that is in our hands. What are you doing with it? The very first set of people I want to pray with are those that are looking at themselves and like, ha, I've not been doing things like I know that Jesus is coming back. Or you're saying to yourself, I know that I'm not saved. Because if you're not saved, if you have not accepted Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, that simply implies that you are not expecting him to come. But he will come because he has promised he will come. And we know that his promises are sure and amen. But you have the opportunity right now to accept him into your life, because all you need to just do is to pray. And we want to pray with you. So we want to give you the opportunity right now. If you are here, you know you are not saved. You want to give your life to Christ. Just raise up your hand over wherever you are. Raise it up above your head. If you're online, you want to do the same thing. Just reach out. Follow the instructions that is scrolling on the screen right now. But if you are here physically, we want to pray with you. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. If you are raising it up, raise it above your head. Don't scratch your head. Raise it above your head so that we can see. We're not asking you to come down, but we want to identify where you are so that we can begin to pray with you. That's all we need you to do. I'm making the call once more. One final call. Anybody that is here, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. If you are raising that hand, raise it, raise it, raise it. Don't be ashamed. Thank you very much. God bless you. Raise it boldly. God bless you. Receive a card and you can put it down. There's another person at that corner there. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. As you have raised that hand, if there's anybody still joining them, you have the chance right now. You don't need to scratch your head. Just raise that hand above. If you have received the card, you can put it down. I want to just pray with you as you are there. And I want you to say personally after me, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me, and I confess that you are my God. From today, Lord, make me your child. Accept me into your fold. Cause my life to be turned around. In the mighty name of Jesus, let me begin to walk with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' name. I want to also pray for one more category. If you are here, you are like the one that went to bury the talent. You're sitting down there. You have a very good excuse. Because there are 7 people that hate the master. So you even tried that you respected him and said, okay, let me return the money. But as you've heard today, it doesn't end there. You need to step forward and begin to find a way to multiply that talent that has been given for you. So I want you to just raise up your hand also. We'll pray together so that you will receive the grace to begin to be fruitful. The grace to begin to occupy as God has destined you to. Thank you very much, my sister. As many that are here, you are trusting God that you want to take your walk with God to the next level. Just raise up your hand wherever you are so that you can multiply. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful. We thank you, Lord, for your children that are raising up their hands. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for all that you are doing with them. We ask in the name of Jesus that even as they are raising up their hands right now, the grace to begin to multiply the gifts, the talents that you have given to them, release in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let their lives no longer be the same. In the mighty name of Jesus, when they are considering and counting those that are fruitful, let them be counted among. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You can clap better unto the Lord. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? All right. Everybody say, God bless Pastor K. Amen.